Thank you, White Moses. Thank you. Thank you, David, for directing again. And thank you, everyone, for taking the time this early morning to join in worship. It's an encouragement to me and to my wife. And I trust that you are also encouraged in these days that could be discouraging. But again, we are God's children, and we are human beings. We get discouraged, but the Lord has given us hope. And, you know, Christianity is the only religion, I must say, that can, in these times, look at the situation in its face and say, you will not destroy me. And we praise God for that. So let us bow in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get to our message. Father, we thank you so much for this day, this beautiful day, not only because the sun is shining, even if it's raining or it's snowing, it's a beautiful day because you have made it, Lord. And so we honor you this morning. We glorify you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world, lived and died, rose again and ascended at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again. And so we pray this morning as we look into this aspect of his life, his ascension. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So last Thursday, May 21st, was Ascension Day, the day when the church commemorates the return of the Lord Jesus Christ back to his Father. And Ascension Day is the day when the resurrection time of Jesus Christ, resurrection season, comes to an end. And the ascension is the similar to the empty tomb. Well, whereas the empty tomb marks the beginning of Easter time, you recall when the women went to the tomb, they found it was empty, and then the angels appeared to them and told them, why look for the living among the dead? And then they were told that Jesus Christ was risen. So the empty tomb is a sign of the resurrection of Christ, and it marks the beginning of Easter season. And after he rose from the grave, Jesus Christ spent 40 days on the earth, including Resurrection Day and the Ascension Day, 40 days. And at the end of 40 days on Ascension Day, he was taken back into heaven. So Ascension is, I believe, an important day for us as Christians to remember and to commemorate. Before I get further, I would like to read the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we'll read from verses 9 to 11. Here we find the story of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. The most important passage on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was here with his disciples in, let me just read this. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. And may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now, all four Gospels, except John, really tells us a little about the ascension of Jesus Christ. But I would like to look at a passage very interesting in Luke chapter 9. That's when Jesus Christ was going up to Jerusalem. And we are told in Luke chapter 9 and verse 50 that he was going up there for a specific reason. Luke chapter 9, verses 50 and 51. Jesus said to them, "Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you." And then verse 51, notice very carefully. "And it came about while the days were approaching for his ascension." Very interesting, not for his death and resurrection, like he told his disciples before, but for his ascension, that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, this is before Jesus Christ was crucified, of course, and he's saying that he's going up to Jerusalem, not so much to be crucified, but ultimately for his ascension, to be taken up to the Father. So Jesus's life on earth ends with the ascension. Of course, his death ended with his life in the flesh, in the sense that he lived in his weakness before he was crucified. But after his resurrection, Jesus Christ no longer lived according to the flesh. In other words, he was no longer able to die. The time between his resurrection and ascension. And so that is the ultimate reason why he went up to Jerusalem, to be ascended back up to the Father. And part of his ascension included his death and resurrection. And he told his disciples over and over that he was going to live them. He was going to go back to the Father. In John chapter 13, and verse 1, this is Jesus Christ in the upper room speaking to his disciples. Notice what is said here, John chapter 13. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world, notice, to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So Jesus Christ came from the Father, from heaven. He came to earth. He sacrificed his life on the cross. He rose again and he ascended back up to the Father. And so the ascension of Christ is essential because it looks back to the resurrection and it ends the period between the time when he rose again and when he ascended back up into heaven. So in this story here of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a few things that are mentioned here that should be of encouragement to us. And the first thing I want to point out from our text this morning is that the ascension of Jesus Christ is a visible, physical ascension. In other words, Jesus Christ was not ascended in the spirit, but he was a person. The apostles saw him. They visibly saw him. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So they actually saw Jesus when he disappeared from the presence. He visibly embarked upon a wonderful journey from earth to heaven. But when we think of the ascension, let us not think of Jesus Christ going up into space, as it were, as upon like a balloon going up into space. Notice it says that in a cloud received him out of their sight. So it's not that Jesus Christ went up on a wonderful journey into space. No, he just visibly disappeared from their presence. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, our text, a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, the cloud here reminds us of the wandering of God's people in the wilderness. You recall God appeared to them like in a cloud. A cloud followed them by day and a pillar of fire by night. Well, the cloud represents two things. The cloud represents the concealment of God, but it also represents the manifestation of God. In other words, the cloud represents the concealment of God in that the people in the wilderness, they saw the cloud, but they could not see God himself. Because the Bible says, of course, that no man can see God. But the cloud also represented the fact that God was present with them. And so, Jesus Christ being taken up or being received out of their sight into in a cloud tells us that Jesus Christ was concealed from the presence, but the cloud also tells them that God was very present with them. It was both a concealment and a revelation of God's presence. So that would have been encouraging to the disciples, because even though Jesus Christ disappeared from the sight in a cloud, they remembered God in the Old Testament who came to his people in a cloud. And though they were not able to see him, his very presence was there with them. So the disciples could not see Jesus because he went into another realm that they could not comprehend, another realm that was inaccessible to them. And that is the cloud. But God's presence, Jesus' presence, was very much with them, even though he disappeared in a cloud. The second thing I want us to notice is that the angels spoke to them. See that in verse 10, and as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. Now, these two men must be the same two angels who came to the tomb and spoke to the ladies. You recall in Luke chapter 24 and verse 4, Luke 24 and verse 4, we read there, Luke 24, verse 4, and it happened while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. Two men, the same two angels. Again, in John chapter 20, the two men are mentioned there again. In John chapter 20, when the women were at the tomb, John chapter 20 and verse 12, and she beheld two angels in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So these are the same two angels, I believe, who are now speaking to the apostles as they're gazing into the sky. These are messengers. In fact, the word angel means a messenger. These are messengers from God who came to speak to the apostles. And he says, and they said to them, the two angels said to them in verse 11, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same manner as you have watched him come or go into heaven." And so the third thing I see here is that Jesus Christ will come just as he ascended. In other words, Jesus Christ himself will come, not an angel or any other creature, but Jesus Christ himself will return. So it says in verse 11, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? This Jesus," right? "This Jesus was taken up from you into heaven. He will come in just the same way as you have watched him go." Now, these are the words of the same angels who spoke. Let's go all the way back to the announcement of the birth of Christ. You recall, angels spoke to Mary and Joseph and told them that they will have a son, and it happened. The angels told the woman at the tomb that this Jesus rose again, and he did rise. So if it is true that, or since it is true that the angels told Mary and Joseph that they will have a son, and they had a son, the angels told the ladies at the tomb that Jesus was risen, and he was risen. Now, if these same angels told the apostles that this Jesus will come again, obviously, and of course, we have this absolute certainty that he will come again, because the angels cannot lie. And so the ascension of Jesus Christ is really a prophecy of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that we use for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is the parousia, P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A, parousia, the second coming of Christ, or we can say the very presence of Christ. So I want you to notice that the ascension of Christ is the assurance of the parousia in verse 11. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus," notice, "who has been taken up from you into heaven," right? That's the ascension. "He may come again." He might come again. Maybe he would not come. Maybe something might prevent him from coming. No, this is not what the angel said. Notice it said, "He will come again." And that is a word of assurance. He will come in just the same way as you have watched him. So the ascension of Jesus Christ is really a prophecy. It is the assurance, is the guarantee that he will come again. He will come again. Now, there are those today who are saying that, you know, would Jesus Christ ever return? It has been over 2,000 years, and we have been still waiting for his return. Well, the Bible says that 1,000 years, days is like one day in the eyes of God. For us, it may seem a very long time, but for God, it's not a very long time. It's a very short time. But the ascension of Jesus Christ is very important. And in fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, there we have a confession, early church confession, and the ascension of Christ is actually mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice what it says. "And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world." And notice the last statement, "he was taken up into glory." That's the statement of the ascension. And when you read the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the ascension of Jesus Christ is also mentioned because it is important. It marks the end of Jesus' life on earth. It marks the period of the end of the resurrection and his return back up to the Father. So where is Jesus now? And what is he doing? And in what form is Jesus in heaven? Well, let's answer the last question first. In what form is Jesus in heaven? He is a man in heaven. He's a person in heaven. Jesus Christ is not a spirit. He was not disintegrated, as it were, into thin air in the form of a spirit. No, he was a human being like you and like me. So Jesus Christ is a person in heaven. He's a man in heaven. He's not a spirit in heaven. He's a man. He's a person like us. You know, only Christianity can say that. No other religion can say that they have one who is in heaven like them. In fact, many religions would say that this is an abomination. How can God become like us? How can Christians say that there is a man in heaven at the right hand of the Father? Well, for us, this is not an abomination. This is an encouragement to know that there is one like us who is representing us in heaven. It's an encouragement for us. What is he doing in heaven? Well, he's interceding for us. He's continually interceding for us. He's representing us on behalf of the Father. And I would not say much about this because I will look at another message on the session of Christ in heaven and what he's doing. But one thing we know that he's doing now, he is interceding for us in heaven. Jesus is not there just twiddling his thumbs, but he is there and he's there for us. John chapter 14, we read this verse earlier. Speaking to his disciples, you recall what Jesus says to them? John chapter 14, let me just read those verses again, verses 1-3. We often read this passage at funerals to encourage the family of the deceased. But this message was not given, or this words were not given by Jesus to his disciples at a funeral service. No, this word was spoken when Jesus Christ was about to depart to his Father. And the disciples were very sad that Jesus Christ was leaving them. And so Jesus said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me." Because Jesus Christ is God. He says, "In my Father's house are many," and I like the King James here, "many mansions." There's a song we used to sing before, "I have a mansion in glory." Many dwelling places. And Jesus said to them, "If it were not so, if indeed there were no mansions or dwelling places in heaven, then," he says, "I would not have told you so." If there were no mansions, he said, "I would have told you. But," he says, "for I go to prepare a place for you." In his death, in his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification, Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for you. So you can put your name there. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for Elizabeth. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for Piper. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for Jasmine and for John and for all those who trust in him. And he says in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I will come again." All right? So he went and prepared a place, his ascension, and he says, "I will come again," just as a king would come to receive his people. He says, "I will come again to receive you to myself." Why? He says, "So that where I am, there you may be also." That's amazing. Now we are in this present situation of isolation and separated from one another. We haven't seen each other, I'm sure, for how many months? Over 2 months now. We're isolated and we miss each other. Yes, I can see you on Zoom, you can see me, but it's not the same as being with each other. And in the same way, we pray to Jesus Christ, we see him by faith. But, you know, the day is coming when we shall actually be with him. Just as the day is coming when we shall again worship together in person, Jesus says that where I am, there you may be also. That is God's ultimate desire for us. He wants to be with us. He wants to fellowship with us. And that's the reason why he's preparing mansions for us, so that each of us who believe in him can have our dwelling places. And you know what? When the time comes and that happens, praise God, there will be no coronavirus. There will be no pandemic. There will be no isolation in heaven. There will be no loneliness. We will not be missing one another. There is no word goodbye in heaven, or I'll see you again. We shall be with him forever and ever. So you know what? This is an encouragement for us. Our time on earth is just a very short time. The present time. When I say the present time, I mean our lifetime from beginning to end. It's a very short time. We look forward to the future when we shall be with him. And you know what? Many people don't know what the future holds for them. As human beings, we don't know what the future holds for us. We don't know what the next moment brings. In fact, someone said that we are poor prophets when it comes to speaking of the future, because we do not know what tomorrow holds. But you know what? There is one thing that we do know, and we are guaranteed that Jesus Christ is coming again to take us to be with him. And I know that we have heard this over and over again as God's children, that let it not become mundane. Let this be what encourages us. Let this be our hope. That since Jesus Christ ascended to the Father, all those who are in Christ will someday ascend into God's presence, so that where he is, we shall be with him. And that Jesus Christ is coming again. You know, we don't often hear messages today about the return of Christ, that he's coming again. And I think one of the reasons is because, you know, Christians, we have become so settled and so earthly minded, so focused upon temporal things and earthly things, that we forget that Jesus Christ is coming again. It may not be in our lifetime, and it may not be in 10 lifetimes, but we know that he's coming. And I am a prophet, but as we look at the world today, we wonder. But we do pray, come Lord Jesus. That's a prayer of a child of God. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage especially the young kids in our midst who might be listening, that God is with you, that Jesus Christ is with you. Even though you may not be able to see your teachers and classmates in school, and you are far away from them, there is one who is very close to you, and that is Jesus Christ, and he's coming again to take you to be with him. So we thank God for this fact that our Lord Jesus Christ, just as he ascended into heaven, he will come again so that we would be with him. And let us be certain and assured about this, that it will happen because it was spoken by heaven, by the angels. This is not a fiction of our imagination. The angels proclaimed his birth. He was born. They announced his resurrection. And he was indeed risen. They proclaimed his ascension and his coming. And that is the last piece of the puzzle that is to be fulfilled. The last prophecy that ought to be fulfilled in all of scriptures is the parousia, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are blessed as God's people to be living in these times. We are living in the post-crucifixion times, the post-resurrection times, but we are living in the pre-parousia time, the last prophecy, the hope of the child of God, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may God bless you as you continue in these days and know that for sure that God's words are true. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for opening our ears and for blessing our hearts this morning. I pray that you will encourage your people and all those who read your word and hear my voice. May your words be of encouragement to each of us and help us to believe that your words are true because you're a faithful God. And we pray for those who do not have this hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you grant it to them that if death comes first, that they will be in your presence. And that if Jesus Christ returns before we die, that we will be with him. And we thank you, Lord, that it is only the Bible, it is only your word that gives us this assurance. No other religion, no other faith gives us this assurance that we have a God who is in heaven, interceding for us, who will come again to take us to be with him. Bless your people. Bless your people everywhere. We pray for those at Scarborough Baptist Church, for all the children, adults, old and young, rich and poor, and everyone in between. May you bless them in a very abundant way. We pray that you will provide the needs of all your people everywhere. And we thank you, Lord, for this medium that we can come together to worship and to fellowship together. Bless your people, Lord. Encourage us, we pray, as we continue in this life. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. Amen and amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us, now and forevermore. And all God's people say, amen and amen. God